Tottenham story is this. It's time to change the situation if Tottenham want to change.
I love to win, mate. That's the main thing. Hopefully I can fulfil those dreams and aspirations of every Tottenham supporter.
And still Ricky Villa. What a fantastic run. He scored.
He's going to have a crack. He is, you know.
I'm loving big engines.
Guess I'm a Spurs fan now then.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of the Tottenham Way. And in all honesty, I don't think any of us have got any idea as to whether this is going to be a success, a disaster, an experiment, something we'll want to do on a regular basis, something we'll never ever want to do again. It's basically either the brainchild of Tom Barkley of The Sun, or it's the most ridiculous idea of Tom Barkley of The Sun. Tom Allnut of The Times is here, a willing participant, I believe. Dan Kilpatrick is getting very excited about this special game that I think Tom dreamt up on a very wild night out. I don't know what he was drinking or smoking, but anyway, I'm not going to waffle. I am Marcus Buckland. We are all here. It is a pod special. It's a Tottenham draft game. Mr. Barkley, can you explain what we are about to attempt?
Yes. Hello, Marcus. I am a bit worried about how this is going to go down, but it could be brilliant. So let's see. So it was inspired by an American podcast that I listened to where they do effectively a draft. And a draft means picking a team. The one I listen to does it for films, but we're going to do it for football here. Picking a team from a certain period of Spurs time where once a player has been selected by one of the players, they are no longer available to the other players. We'll do it in what's called a snake formation, where, so say Marcus goes first, then it'll be Tom A, then it'll be Dan, and then it'll be Dan again, Tom A, Marcus, up and down. And the idea behind it, in principle, is it's a bit of fun, a chance to speak sort of nostalgically about some of some fun memories from a certain Spurs period. I've picked kind of at random a 5-year period between 2004 and 2009, so those five seasons. And basically all the players that played or were in the first team during that period are all available. And I've also got the managers as well. There are four managers or four permanent managers during that time. And how it works is you get to choose whoever you want, whether it be a forward, whether it be a midfielder, whether it be the manager, in any order you want to do it. But once that person, whether it be a player or a manager, has gone, they are no longer, as I said, available to the rest of the players in the game. And so once we're done, however long that's going to take, hopefully not forever, but it might feel like it at some point if it doesn't go well. Then at the end, we'll judge it, and hopefully any listeners, if they're still listening, can tweet us in who they thought effectively won the draft, who they thought was the best team. But the fun of it should be that you'll all get some good players, and you may get some not so good players by the end of it. So we'll see how it goes.
How do you win, Tom? What's the what's the glory at the end of it?
In terms of a prize, I mean, just respect generally.
Who judges who has the best?
Well, I don't know. I think on this
which
one,
which audience am I playing to here?
Maybe me, seeing as I'm sort of taking a back seat on this one. Obviously, it's very subjective, and any kind of bribes might go well offline. We'll see, but let's see how it works. And according to my calculations, it is Dan who gets to pick first.
Ooh, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Now, I'm really torn. I'm looking down the list. I want to clarify something that you haven't clarified. We've been having this debate off air, just so people know. And I think we absolutely have to be picking the players at their peak during that period. Because, for example, Danny Rose is on this list. And he wasn't amazing from 2004 to 2009. He scored, I think, that goal against Arsenal in that period, but he was generally a young player, didn't get much of a look in. So we can't be having Pochettino's Danny Rose, for example. And Danny Murphy's on this list, who was pretty crap for Spurs, but we can't have Liverpool's Danny Murphy. So I think it's got to be, are we all agreed, Spurs players at their peak when they were playing for Spurs in that period.
Personally, I think that makes the most sense. And otherwise, the game does kind of lose its impact. But I'm also very aware that this game could be derailed very quickly by people getting confused. So it's kind of up to the other guys. Should we maybe try with the way Dan's suggesting it?
We've got Modric on here. And obviously, Modric was great for Spurs. But he wasn't the Modric that won five Champions Leagues in six seasons, whatever it was.
Dan, in that case, was Emil Hjalfriðsson at his peak during this period?
Emil Hjalfriðsson, he was actually quite a useful left winger, as I recall. But I wouldn't be picking him if I were you. I'm going to get the ball rolling. Again. I'm going to have Ledley. And I'll tell you why. Because Ledley, in this period, made everyone around him better. He wasn't just great. He was a kind of radiator of excellence. I mean, I'm looking down this list. I can see Anthony Gardner on this list. Anthony Gardner got an England cap. That England cap was all down to playing next to Ledley. I can see Michael Dawson on this list. I love Michael Dawson. He's obviously a much-loved Spurs character. I think he got an England cap in this period. Again, I don't think he would have got it if he wasn't playing next to Ledley. There's several other players on here who were all improved by just being in Ledley's kind of sphere of influence. So I think he immediately makes my team great because he's going to improve whoever I end up having to put next to him at centre-half. So, yeah, my first pick is Ledley.
Okay, that's great. First player down. I'm just going to say, as a rule for this one, everyone must play 4-4-2. I think most teams were playing that at the time. I think it's only fair we all go with the same formation. And if this is successful and there are other periods that we end up doing, then the formations can change. But I think we were still stuck in the 4-4-2 days during this period. So Ledley King, he's gone. He's one of your centre.
And just to be clear, I'm not doing a David Pleat. He is at centre-half, not in midfield.
Next up is Tom Allnutt.
Okay, Dan's gone with a defensive pick first. I wouldn't have expected anything less. You know, not at all in tune with the values of Tottenham Hotspur. I will be... of course, I'd be addressing my offensive options primarily. And I'll be picking... I sort of want the identity of my team to be, you know, very free-flowing, every player feeling like they can express themselves, you know, really about personality and flamboyant. So I'm going to pick Dimitar Berbatov, who I think is quite possibly one of the flashiest, most Tottenham-ish players of this period. If possible, I think, you know, everyone should leave Robbie Keane available as well, just because I feel like that would be the right thing to do. But I'm not going to put any pressure on anyone to do that. But I do think that would be the correct thing to do in the situation. My first pick will be Dimitar Berbatov, Tom.
Perfect. Right. So Berbatov is off the list. Remember, managers are still available as well. It moves on to Marcus, who actually has two picks now. And then it'll be Tom Allnutt. So we're going up and down and up and down.
No one's going to do a manager till last. Let's face it.
Okay. Jack Santini is it.
Very, very disappointed that Tom A has gone with Dimitar Berbatov because he was the first name on my list. Well, almost the first name. I was tempted to go with Troy Archibald Hanville and also Dorian De Vite. And, of course, Andy Bartsham and Simon Dawkins and the aforementioned Emil Hjalfriðsson. They were all close to getting into my starting 11. But like Tom, and I hope I get to choose my manager because of the four, there is one, I think, clearly who should get the nod. But I'm looking for the free-flowing attacking football that we're getting back at the club again now. So up front, and I'm going to apologise to Tom, but I am taking Robbie Keane. And, of course, I want to partner him with Dimitar Berbatov, but as you rudely grabbed the great Bulgarian first, I'm going to have to partner the brilliant Keane with Freddy Kanute, who on his day was a terrific player. Wasn't always his day, of course, but looking at that list, and apologies again to both Andy Bartsham and Simon Dawkins, but Freddy Kanute up front with Robbie Keane.
Right, so wow, Marcus has already got both his forwards, Robbie Keane and Freddy Kanute. That's pretty lethal strike force during this period anyway. So it comes back down to Tom Allnutt.
I don't see Keane and Kanute working at all, Tom. I just think that's got kind of, you know, Keane flustering his arms about wanting the ball but not getting it. I just don't see that partnership functioning at all, which is such a shame because, you know, you're denying us the Keane-Berbatov duo that everyone wanted. So I think I'm going to partner Berbatov up front with Roman Pavlyuchenko, Because why are you looking like that, Dan?
Well, Tom, I was worried that everyone's picking strikers, and by the time it comes back to me, there aren't going to be any good ones left. Which I guess
there's still Jonathan Obika, Fraser Campbell still available.
This is the beauty of the game. This is the beauty.
Pavlyuchenko would not have been the next striker on my list anyway. So
I just think
didn't want him anyway.
I think we saw Defoe with Berbatov a lot, and it never quite worked. So I think I'm going to go with Pavlyuchenko, who I don't think ever played with Dimitar. Am I right or wrong? I'm confusing my ears there. I don't think so. I mean, I think Pavlyuchenko was largely a little bit ineffective, but he did have an absolutely brilliant golden spell at the end of, I think, the 2011 season, which maybe is just outside of our window, but which basically fired Spurs into the top four. So on the basis of what I think would be a lovely partnership, Pavlyuchenko's finishing, Berbatov's creativity, I'm going to take the great Roman Pavlyuchenko.
Good stuff. I mean, I don't know whether that really complies with Dan's rules from the outset of it all fitting during this period, but let's move on anyway. And it is back to Dan, who now has two picks himself.
Oh, wow. That's good news. I mean, I'm astonished Tom's gone for Pavlyuchenko, the kind of worst good player or best bad player Spurs have ever had. Didn't really do much. Is remembered because he got some Champions League goals on the end of Bale's crosses. And scored a few screens.
You've only got one player who's a central defender, and he's spending all his week in the swimming pool. So I don't know.
He's an offensive option. I know. I feel I have to pick at least one striker because all the good ones are going fast. So I'm going to go for Jermaine Defoe, who Tom madly overlooked. A much more efficient finisher, much more exciting player than Pavlyuchenko, much more Spurs than Pavlyuchenko as well. So he's going to be up front. I am tempted to give him a strike partner. I can see Mido on the list. Big man, little man, they work quite well together. That would be appealing. Raziak's on there, of course. But I think I'm gonna dip into the midfield just to give my fledgling team a nice bit of balance. And I'm torn. There's some good midfielders on there, I've got to say.
While you're thinking about it, remember that the other guys have locked down their strikers. They can't sign anymore. So all the ones left to you will be available to you for the rest of the game. So play it smart and leave it right to the end to pick whoever you wish.
And they both got two strikers.
Yeah, we've got Berbatov and Pavlyuchenko and Keane and Canute. So
okay. I take back Defoe. I don't want Defoe.
No. I should have left that to the outset, but at least I've saved you one striker. That's how it works. I just let you know, Tom Allnut, Pavlyuchenko in his one season during this time frame got in 28 Premier League appearances, scored 5 goals.
Good return.
Okay, well, I haven't messed up too badly because he's picked Pav. I am going to go for... None of the goalkeepers appeal to me.
Not even Tommy Forecast.
I'm having Luka Modric, for obvious reasons. I'm not going to do a Harry Redknapp and put him on the left. He's going in centre midfield. I appreciate I'm not getting the Champions League winning Modric of Real Madrid or even the Modric that led Croatia to the World Cup final, but I'm still getting an incredible Modric who was wanted by Chelsea and obviously subsequently Real. And he's just going to pull the strings, sit in there, dictate the play, pick up the ball from Ledley and feed it to Defoe. What more could you want?
Luka Modric, a great pick. I mean, I don't quite remember him in that season, how well he fared. He got 3 goals in the Premier League in 34 games. It was during that time where he might have played out wide during that period. I just remember as a Newcastle fan rather than Spurs, which is why I'm playing more of a backseat role here, being gutted because he was the one that Kevin Keegan was going to try and sign. And apparently it was all set to go for Newcastle. I was very excited about him. And Spurs swooped in at the last minute. So that was gutting.
Quite boring though, isn't it? It's quite a boring team already, Dan's team, isn't it? Defoe, Ledley King. You know, where's the flair? Where's the panache in there, you know? I mean, Modric, yeah, good. All right, fair play. You know, good selection, I guess. I mean, I've already got, you know, my flairy duo up front, but I think I need some service now. So I'm going to go to the wing and I'm going to pick Aaron Lennon. And I think, you know, I think Lennon probably doesn't necessarily get the credit he deserves these days. I remember when Lennon first came through and it was so refreshing to have someone as quick as he was who could beat players so easily as he did. And obviously, you know, everyone remembers the Peter Crouch goal in the Champions League against AC Milan. But actually, maybe what people sometimes overlook is that it came from a brilliant, mesmerizing Aaron Lennon run for about 60 yards. So I'm going to have Aaron Lennon on the right feeding my Pavlyuchenko Berbatov front two.
Well, I've noticed there's one name that I'm going to, and I seem to remember Dan back in the day telling me that this guy was going to be an absolute world beater. Was it Mark? I don't think the name's written, Yates or Yeats. Do you remember him? And I think he might have played for Oxford for a while. And you said, oh, this young lad is going to be an absolute superstar.
I do recall that. Yeah, we had a bet on it. In fact, bet Mark Yates would never make a single senior appearance for Spurs, and I think you won the bet.
Yes. Well, he certainly didn't. I don't think he scored a goal. Anyway, I'm not going to go with him. I tell you who I'm going to go with, because this also takes me back to a period in my career where I was hosting Prem Plus on Sky, for those old enough to remember it. And I will never forget the game at Old Trafford between Manchester United and Spurs quite late in the season when we were pushing for a Champions League place. And we really needed to win at that stage. And we played brilliantly, and you're all going to remember it was 0-0 with 10, 15 minutes to go. And the marauding, magical, rugged, impressive Pedro Mendes scores from a long way out. The ball clearly, I got told off for getting overexcited, didn't I, last week? The ball very clearly over the line, and it was disallowed. Roy Carroll was in the goal, in the Manchester United goal. I mean, the look on his face. He knew exactly what had happened. The goal was disallowed. We ended up drawing that game 0-0. Cost us 2 points. I think probably cost us a top four place. But Mendes, I really enjoyed watching him play. He bustled about. He was, you know, a good, strong physical presence. And he had a knack of scoring some goals. I'd love to know actually what his goal scoring record was for the club. But I am going to stick Pedro Mendes into the heart of my midfield. And as I have another pick, I've got Keane and Canute up front. I've got Mendes just behind in central midfield.
While you're thinking about it, Marcus, just on Pedro Mendes, I think, didn't you interview him relatively recently? Is he an agent now?
Yeah, he's an agent in Portugal, yeah. I did interview him, yeah. He was a very nice chap. Yeah, we spoke a lot about his days at Spurs and at Portsmouth. He was remembering how... before the Portsmouth FA Cup final at Redknapp took the team out for a karaoke night, which was a classic Redknapp kind of story. And yeah, obviously he went over the goal that never was at Old Trafford, which is his biggest moment, obviously, in a Spurs shirt probably. But I agree with Marcus, Flairy pick, much more exciting selections than Dan's, has to be said.
Well, my other pick, as I've got two in a row, is not quite so Flairy, but I need to have as strong a central defence as possible. Ledley's gone. But another name that's clearly there. And I think we all, you know, for as long as we're alive, we'll look back with great fondness, respect and appreciation for Michael Dawson. And I actually remember when I took my oldest son to his first ever Spurs game, it was Spurs against Newcastle. And Spurs won 2-0. And poor old Jago, when the first goal went in, I think Lennon might have scored it. I picked him up and got very overexcited. And then he got his legs stuck in the seat, which had swung up, obviously, as he got off the chair. And then as he sat back down again, his legs caught and he's now crying. And Michael Dawson's wife was sitting next to us. And she was very kind and made sure that Jago was okay. So I've got an affection for the Dawson family. And he is my captain in the heart of central defence.
A great pick and a top man, Michael Dawson. Mark Yates, just to let you know, Marcus, who was saying he wouldn't make a Premier League appearance? Was it Marcus?
I said he wouldn't score.
I wouldn't score because he did actually make a Premier League appearance. He made three during during this period. So 03-04, one game, 04-05, two games. So
I think you owe me 50 quid, Marcus, wasn't it?
Did he score?
No, he did not score, unfortunately. Yeah. Moving on back to Tom Allnutt.
I think my team has got a lot of creativity, but needs a bit of leadership. So I'm going to bring in Edgar Davids, who I think we can all agree was, I don't know, maybe the sort of first, it feels like the kind of first real stellar signing of this kind of Tottenham era. I think everyone had kind of really grown used to Tottenham being linked with players like Shevchenko and Rivaldo and Christian Vieri and all these kind of guys who never ended up coming. And Edgar Davids was sort of the one who actually did end up coming. 2005, the idea that someone like Edgar Davids could play for Spurs was quite exhilarating at the time. It was kind of one of those deals that you remember in terms of the transfer window. It didn't kind of work out long-term that well, I don't think, but for a year or two, Edgar Davids was a very useful Spurs player in that side. So I'm going to bring in Edgar Davids for some steel and some tenacity into my central midfield.
Right. I am going to go for Michael Carrick. I can't overlook him. I think Carrick and Modric, you're not getting the ball off my team. They're just running the show in centre midfield. He was such a nice player to watch. I don't think he really peaked at Spurs. He got better at United. But I just remember him kind of weaving his way through opposition players, spreading the ball out nicely, just being such an easy-on-the-eye player. Very Spurs. So he's in there with Modric. And I think that's a really tough centre midfield to get the better of. They can go both ways. They'll keep the ball. They'll use it. They'll create. They'll break things up enough. So I'm happy with that. And then I'm going to go for Jonathan Woodgate at centre half, partnering Ledley. So the spine of my team. I mean, I don't care about the wide players. I'm going to end up with Phil Ifill. I know I am, but I'm happy with that. Woodgate obviously struggled with injuries, but he was good for Spurs and he was very good alongside Ledley. And the last trophy Spurs won is testament to that. And him scoring the winner against Chelsea, we'll kind of always leave him with a sort of important place in Spurs history. So I'm having him next to Ledley at the back.
Yeah, Woodgate, probably the best Newcastle defender I ever saw. And Michael Carrick, who should have played for Newcastle, but there you go. Right, back to Tom Warnock.
I'm going to match up Edgar Davids in central midfield with more pure power. And I'm going to go for Tom Huddleston, the best striker of a football in a Tottenham shirt in the modern era. Scored some great goals and mainly just loved switching the ball from one side of the pitch to the other with a really hard right foot. So I'm going to pair Huddleston and Davids together in admittedly not the most agile midfield, not the quickest. But, you know, Dan's talking about who's going to get the ball off Carrick and Modric. I've got my two powerhouses ready for the fight.
You've got Berbatov to do the running, so that's okay. Huddleston, I mean, it might have been out of this period, it probably was, but was it that strike at Man City where hardly any backlift, and I don't think I've seen a player strike a ball as hard as that. He was a fantastic player, wasn't he? Marcus, back to you with two more picks.
Yeah, well, I would first of all say that if this was a walking football 11 that we were selecting, then Tom A was doing a really good job, but my goodness me, if you're relying on Berbatov to do your running, I mean, he ran a bit during home games, but you are going to be a very pedestrian 11, dare I suggest.
Now, if you talk about your own players, your own team, do you know what I mean, Tom? Yeah, this sort of back chat?
Back chat is very much encouraged.
A bit of gamesmanship, you know. Okay, well, we're starting to get to the lesser lights, dare I mention. I see Charlie Lee hasn't been touched upon yet. But in my midfield, alongside Pedro Mendes, I'm going to have Wilson Palacios, who, and I don't quite know why, but I just got very fond memories of Wilson Palacios. And he drifted at times, but I couldn't actually pinpoint one amazing moment. So I don't know why I'm selecting, really. But I just, for some reason, seem to feel that I have a soft spot for Wilson. He did have a purple patch at some point. I mean, Tom, if you've got the stats in front of you, you might be able to mention a goal or two that he came up with. But he's another, I think, we've got Tom's, 95-year-olds who aren't walking. We've got Dan's, fancy Dan's, appropriately enough. I have got, in Pedro Mendes and Wilson Palacios, a couple of rough and ready diamonds who physically will just take charge of the midfield and allow my
very mid-table players. But I do have a soft spot for Palacios. I agree with you. I think he was the first kind of proper holding midfielder Spurs had had for a while. probably since David, really, there was this soft centre problem and Redknapp identified it and went and got Palacios from Wigan. And I think he might have made his debut against Arsenal and just added a bit of grit and added a bit of fight. And, you know, he wanted the ball. He wanted to be physical and make challenges. And Spurs had missed that for a while. So I can see why you have a soft spot for him.
Yeah, so Palacios in my midfield, and I've got to find a bit of flair. But I'm going to head back into the back four, where Dawson at the moment in my team's on his own. Now, because of Dan's demands that we only can have players at their peak during this period, I won't go for Danny Rose at left back, although obviously he was to develop into a thrilling player. So I'm down to two at left back. Benoit Assou-Ekotto, who is a real character. I think I read somewhere the other day that he had no interest in football whatsoever and turned up every home game with a hot chocolate, a croissant, having bought all these items from Tesco, and he would then dip his croissant into his hot chocolate, and he'd then also have a packet of crisps and a can of full Coke. And yet, despite that, he was an incredibly fit footballer and quite a character as well. So I'm tempted to go for either him or Eric Edman, who I'll never forget for his wonderful goal at Anfield against Liverpool. But I think because he was a character, I want Assou-Ekotto as my left back.
Yeah, Assou-Ekotto, almost the most famous player for not actually enjoying football. I mean, there's been a bit of talk about him since Ben White revealed he wasn't much of a football fan for Arsenal recently. But yeah, wasn't Assou-Ekotto famous for not even knowing who they were playing each week? Which I struggle to really actually believe that, given that the team would have been preparing all week for the opposition. But there you go. So right, so Assou-Ekotto's in for Marcus. Got two defenders. At the moment, Tom, you've got quite an exciting attack, but at the moment, not a lot of people guarding your goal.
No, I'm not interested in the defence yet, Tom. I'm going to fill out my midfield on the left wing. I mean, there are some good options here, it's true. You know, we've got Bentley, who could maybe do a job there. Mal Bronk, of course. But I can't overlook that Gareth Bale is still available. And so I think I'm going to pick Bale in part because I'm hoping that people who see the teams, if anyone does see these teams, won't understand the rules. So they'll just think I have the best player in the game. But also I think that maybe people might have overlooked that actually in 2009, 2010, Bale was starting to kind of come out of his shell. I think in 2010, for example, was the year when he scored those two goals against Stoke, the brilliant volley into the top corner. I think he scored a winner against Arsenal in a North London derby. He sort of went through and slotted into the net. So, you know, we were starting to see very much, you know, the early seeds of the brilliant Bale. So I think it's entirely fair enough to slot Bale into my midfield, which completes the midfield of Bale, Davids, Huddleston and Aaron Lennon, which I think everyone would agree is pretty tasty.
That logic would be great if it weren't for the fact that this five-year period ends in 2008, 2009, rather than 9-10. But I will give you extra points for trying to get one over the any fans who won't know the rules, just like you don't, you see. Right, back to Dan. Two more picks.
I am going to go for David Bentley. I like Bentley. The goal against Arsenal obviously sticks in my mind. I remember watching that game at university and just going absolutely bonkers. I think I gave myself a nosebleed. I was so excited. But that was when Aaron Lennon scored in the last minute, not when Bentley scored. The lob over Almunia, was it? I think
Almunia, yeah.
And I feel like probably tipping the bucket of ice on Harry Redknapp was the kind of beginning of the end of his time at Spurs. I think we might have seen a bit more of him if it wasn't for that. And he obviously kind of fell out of love with the game as well, which he's spoken about. But worth remembering, he was a very, very good player. I mean, he was an England player at this time, I think. You know, he's part of Capello's squad. He rubbed Capello up the wrong way, but that wasn't about talent. It was about personality. And he had a lot of quality. You know, he was often compared to David Beckham. So I think whoever ends up front with the foe, and obviously I get my pick of those guys later, is going to benefit from Bentley's service from the right. So I'm having him. I've got Carrick, Modric and Bentley. That's a classy midfield three. So for my second pick, I'm going to go for Vedran Ciorluca, or Charlie, as my right back. I can't really remember anything specific he did during this period, but I remember him as a very dependable, quite classy kind of fullback. I think it continues this nice theme I've got going on my team of just kind of classy players who can keep the ball, who are technically good, good in possession. And obviously he's going to keep Modric happy as well. So he slots in to my back four alongside King and Woodgate. I think that's a pretty good defence. And in front of Bentley and obviously Modric and Carrick. So yeah, I'm happy with this. I mean, I don't care about my left side. I'll come to that. But this is a very strong foundation, I think.
Ponderous team, very ponderous. I now have to address my back four, which obviously I've left till last because, you know, that's not what sells tickets at the end of the day. But there are still some good options here, which is surprising in a way. I guess relatively good options. I'm going to go right back, Paul Stalteri. I don't think it's really necessary to explain the class of the man. And in particular, obviously, the goal against West Ham. I sort of almost, I don't know what the other guys think about this, but this sort of game sticks out. When you think about, you know, Spurs going to the Champions League in this era, the AC Milan, obviously. We've talked about the kind of, you know, late comeback against Arsenal with the Bentley goal. But this game must be the kind of, I don't know, number one almost feel-good match of this era, don't you think?
It's definitely up there. Yeah, it's definitely up there. I mean, you can tell that just by how often Spurs' official account plays it on socials now. Before every single West Ham game, at least three or four times, and then at other random points during the season. It is a kind of iconic moment, I think, for Spurs fans, and made better by the fact that Stalteri, and this is relevant to your pick, wasn't great and didn't really do anything and was a pretty pedestrian, unadventurous right-back that went on one run, probably broke over the halfway line once in his career, and it was then. So I think that makes the goal more kind of cult and special, the fact that it was him on the end of it. It's kind of given him this immortality that he would otherwise never have had for his time at Spurs.
But cult players are what this draft game is all about. So maybe bonus points for Tom for that pick.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate that.
To Marcus. I'm just trying to get your enthusiasm for the game, Tom, to be honest. I'll try anything. Marcus, two picks for you.
Yes, and I'm going to pick two very important areas. I'm going to pick my goalkeeper because looking down a lengthy list, we've got, I'll read out the names that are on offer. Paul Robinson, Martin Fulop, Radek Černý, Nicky Eyre, Ben Olmert, Rob Birch, Tommy Forecast. I mean, did anyone forecast a successful career for him? I don't know. Aurelio, Carlo Cudicini, and Cesar Sanchez. So I am, although Aurelio had a good period, he then had that awful spell. I really felt for him, actually. I did like Aurelio Gomez a lot, but Paul Robinson has got to be my goalkeeper. And I've got to have a good manager. And we've got, again, a choice of four. So it's either Santini, Yol, Juan de Ramos, who did pick up the silverware, of course, but was sacked in a few months, or Harry. And it has to be Harry. Harry was brilliant. Harry got us playing fantastic football. It's annoying the England thing got him in the way. His tax thing got in the way towards the end of his time in charge. But he was a proper manager, Harry. So I've got Robinson as my goalkeeper and Harry as my manager.
I'm looking down the list of defenders. I'm tempted to go for Rodrigo defending just because, you know, down is Rodrigo defending. I'm going to match up with another, you know, flary fullback with Eric Edman. And again, base my pick on one moment rather than his career. And obviously that goal was, stupefyingly good. So I've got Edmund and Stalteri on the flanks.
I mean, that goal of the month is legendary, isn't it? It's the greatest goal of the month contenders ever. I mean, Edmund's goal was ridiculous. I can't remember who won it that month, but he might not even be in the top three, which sort of sums it up. But that strike was ridiculous.
I don't know if Edmund ever scored any goals like that again, did he? I mean, I don't know if he was sort of known as a kind of long shot shooter who could like fire these kind of missiles. It seemed to me like it was a complete one-off, which makes it even better.
Why was he trying it then? He's not even known as someone who takes a punt, just had a go. It sounds like a feature. Yeah. Sounds like a feature for someone to do at some point with Eric, if he's around. If he's listening, come on and explain why you did it. Back to Dan with two picks.
Okay, I need a left back. I'm tempted by Lee Young-pyo because I think he was very solid and unspectacular, but a good defender. However, Chorluka doesn't really get forward that much. Chorluka's quite solid as well, so I want a more flary left back. So I'm going to go for Timothy Atuba. I'm tempted by Danny Rose, but on my principle, I mean, no doubt Allnut will pick him for disingenuous reasons, I'm sure, to try and pull the wool over the eyes of fans, but I'm not going to do that.
I've already got a left back, so why would I pick him?
I've got too much respect for the listeners.
You'll probably pick him as a centre back.
Atuba, I mean, I think it was his debut against Newcastle when he scored a cracking goal. He kind of stepped inside, hit it with his right foot and kind of bent it into the corner. Another kind of quite memorable goal that you'll see on Spurs socials from time to time. Not sure what else he really did, but he was sticks in the mind for his ridiculous kind of attempted trickery. You know, he was always trying a drag back or a Cruyff turn or something in inappropriate areas. And I like that. I think he'd do a job. But remember, I've got Ledley alongside him. And as I said at the top of the show, you know, Ledley improves everyone around him. So Ledley's going to bring some calm to that back line and keep Timothy Atuba in check. So that's my back four complete. I'm not doing manager or goalkeeper to laugh because I think there's three good options on both lists. So I don't care if I end up with last pick for either. So I need a left winger. And I'm going to go for... This is a tricky one. I'm tempted by Andy Reid, but I'm going to go for... It's between Mal Bronk and Simon Davis. I'm going to go for Simon Davis, actually. Digger Davis.
On the left?
On the left, yeah. I think he can tuck in, and I think he could tuck in and play there.
I don't think you can do that.
Or what? Are you banning me from having him?
What do you think, Tom? You think you play a right winger on the left wing? I mean, just I know how disorganized Dan's team is, but it seems a bit.
It's quite Gareth Southgate of you to.
Did you notice, guys, that Dan was dissing several managers, saying I won't be playing any of my players out of position, and now he's gone and that.
It's been noted. It's been noted.
Okay, you know what? I'm very happy to row back on it. So
stick with it. I like, you know. Well, do what you feel you must.
No, I stick with Simon Davis. He can play on the left. I'm sure he did at some point. He's got, you know, this was an era when there were no left footed players in world football. You know, everyone knows this. Scholes had to play on the left for England. Modric playing the left for Spurs, which we've already discussed. Mal Bronk playing the left for Spurs. And Simon Davis in my team is no different. He's going to slot in there. Another classy technical player, industrious. He'll get up and down. Atuba will be overlapping anyway with his one light left foot. So I've got good balance there. So I'm sticking with Simon Davis.
Yeah, I think you've explained it well there, I think. Tom, back to you. You've got a gaping hole in your defence.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Yunus Kabul. If he hasn't already been picked, has he, Tom?
I don't believe so. No,
surprising, not
surprising. Very surprising. He's a commanding centre half with charisma and also technical ability to boot. Scored crucial winner, I think, in the comeback against Arsenal in 2010, which maybe just outside the window, but you know it was forthcoming at this point. I think was actually a pretty good centre half. Although I think he was in the kind of I'm slating him undeservedly here, but he was in the kind of like group that Pochettino ousted. Is that right? At the beginning when Pochettino came in?
I think he was club captain, wasn't he? And then Pochettino did away with him. But that was quite a lot further down the line. So not really relevant to this particular time period. No,
absolutely. Exactly. So Yunus Kabul goes straight in.
Okay. Back to me already. Right. Well, you see, Dan is mucking around here with Simon. I was going to have Simon Davis in his right position, but I will take the other player that Dan mentioned. I will have Steve Mal Bronk marauding down the right flank. And the reason I'm slightly being forced into this because I've got the wonderful Wilson Palacios and Pedro Mendes who are going to do a fantastic job and are going to block out that midfield. But I do need a little bit of flair. And Mal Bronk, you know, he came and he went a little bit, but he had real ability. He knew what he was doing, and I'm assuming that I'm getting him at the peak of his powers, which I think he was probably enjoying around about this period. So I'm going to have Malbrant, I've got Palacios and Mendes. I need one other player as well on the left-hand side where I'm struggling a little bit. I was thinking about Andy Reid, who's been touched upon. I've got a real soft spot for Dean Marnie, who I remember because I was at the game back in, I think, 2005. It was against Everton. We beat them 5-2, and he scored, again, if my memory's correct, I think he got the first one that day and he got the fifth one. And I don't think he ever scored for Spurs again. It was like this amazing, who is this guy? He was. I'm pretty sure that the second goal he got was a 25-yard curler into the top right-hand corner as well. It was clearly the greatest day of his career. So, but he's not getting into my team just because of that. There's Timo Tainio. I never knew how to say his name. I'm struggling on that side. In fact, I'm struggling so much that I'll have to come back to it.
I'm enjoying you talking it out as you frantically in your brain just go, what am I going to do here? But very impressive. It shows why you're such a good broadcaster, Marcus.
I tell you who I'm going to go for. And again, I'm slightly playing him out of position on the left, but he won't because he's going to be all over the place. And this is him. I'll build it up. Him at his absolute peak, not when he went missing in action. Adel Taarabt is going to provide the touch of genius, the spark, the creativity. He's going to get in between Palacios and Mendes. He's going to supply some wonderful piercing balls and little through passes to Malbrant. So Adel Taarabt is my joker in the pack, but on his day, a wonderful, gifted Tottenham sort of player.
I just want to say that's all your midfield's complete and Jermaine Genius hasn't made it in anywhere. Am I missing something? I mean, 33 England caps. Maybe he was better for Newcastle. Are Spurs fans just nonplussed about Jermaine Genius?
I think he had one really good game in that cup semi-final against Arsenal, a weakened Arsenal. That's my abiding memory of Jermaine.
Wow, because Newcastle fans aren't a huge fan of him before saying that, you know, Newcastle was a goldfish bowl before he left for Spurs. And then
let's be honest, he doesn't get in my midfield of Carrick and Modric, but he gets in both of theirs. So this is not on me. It's
you could
on them.
Have played him wide. You could have played Genius on the right and Malbrant on the left, but there we go. Back to Tom.
I'm surprised he wasn't a Dan pick. He was, you know, he's that kind of classic straight jacket Spurs player that Dan would go for. I think the whole thing with Genius was that he kind of arrived and was meant to be like a complete starlet, wasn't he? Like he was meant to be a sort of complete midfielder who was going to be an England number eight for years to come. And it just never quite happened. So I think he was probably a little bit sort of, he was kind of depressed by the expectations on him. But yeah, it doesn't make it into my midfield full of charisma and power, admittedly. I think I have one place left. Is that right, Tom?
You have a goalkeeper and a centre-back.
Oh, right. Yeah, two places, of course. Centre-half, I'm going to go for Nuruddin Nebet alongside Yunus Kabul. I think that's because, you know, we know that every classy team needs kind of the winning mentality that Nebet was signed for. And it's interesting, if you look now at his Wikipedia page, I sort of feel like the standards that Tottenham were looking for in terms of winning mentality have certainly kind of gone up since then, because everyone kind of thought Nebet was a sort of proven winner who'd won so many trophies. And actually, he'd only really won La Liga with Deportivo La Coruña, a couple of Copa del Reys, etc. I guess now the equivalent would be someone like Perisic, who, you know, has won Champions Leagues and various titles across Europe. So Spurs have definitely gone up in the world. But at that point, Nebet was very much seen as kind of someone who could come in at 35 years old or whatever he was and instill the winning mentality that Spurs needed. So Nebet goes in alongside Kabul.
Good stuff. Right, that goes back to Dan for two more picks. You've got goalkeeper, striker, which I know you can hang on to the end, and a manager.
Yeah, so I don't need to do my striker till last. So, goalkeeper, Robbo's gone, right?
Yep, he's the only keeper to have gone so far.
Well, I'm having Gomez then. I think he was a fabulous shot stopper. I remember the season Spurs first got in the Champions League, those back-to-back games against Chelsea and Arsenal, particularly the Arsenal game. This might be slightly out of this era, I guess, but it was sort of demonstrative of what he could do. He made that save from Van Persie's free kick, as I remember. But yeah, he made great stops. I mean, he used to chucking his neck quite often and then kind of pretend he was injured and sort of cry, which was the downside of him. But I think on his day, he was a decent goalkeeper. I like the fact that he used to throw it out. It was a kind of weird quirk instead of kicking. So I'll have Gomez. Now I'm going to do the manager, obviously. Harry's gone. It's got to be Big Martin Jol. Obviously, Ramos won the trophy, but Jol was very Spurs. And I think Jol was the manager who kind of begun the process of getting Spurs back to being relevant. That's how I remember him. Yeah, it felt like before he came in, Spurs were still kind of quite a forgettable sort of afterthought in Premier League terms, very mid-table. They were very kind of lads at Tottenham back then. And Jol really began the process of making them a serious team, getting them in Europe, making it fun again, restoring their identity. A kind of sort of lower scale version of what Postecoglou is doing now, I think. So I've always got very fond memories of Jol, and I think he has a proper place in Spurs modern history. So yeah, he's in the dugout for me.
Good stuff. Tom, back to you.
Well, I think I'd from a goalkeeper's position, and despite the sort of wealth of options that are still available, I think I'm going to go for Carlo Cudicini, who admittedly didn't play that much for Spurs, but actually did a pretty good job when he did play. He was probably one of the best number twos. It's interesting, at that time, everyone kind of thought Cudicini was a sort of real luxury number two. It was like, wow, like imagine having Cudicini as your number two, like how amazing that is. And obviously now that's much more commonplace to have two very good goalkeepers. So Cudicini would get into most good teams these days, and he gets into mine as well, Tom.
Good stuff. I was just looking at how many games he played during this period. Four Premier League games for Cudicini. Yeah. Admittedly, he only played another 15 in his time at Spurs. So,
how many clean sheets out of those four?
I haven't got those numbers to hand, but in fact, he was only in there four times. Just not every single one. But yeah, he was a great goalkeeper. Just weirdly, didn't play that much. Back to Marcus for his final two picks, which I believe are two more defenders.
They are indeed, and I'm very excited that I think they're still available. At right back, my two fullbacks are quality. I've got Benoit Assuakoto, who's doing great stuff down the left-hand side, and Pascal Chimbonda will be doing exactly the same thing from his position as right back. He could get forward. He knew how to defend. I'm slightly surprised that he's been overlooked to this late stage in the game. And just inside him, partnering Michael Dawson in the heart of the defence, is Noé Pamaro. Has he gone? He hasn't gone, has he, either? I mean, again, I know he only played about 25 or 30 games for Spurs, and then he went off and did
as a right back, no?
No, he was a central defender primarily, Pamaro, I would say.
Nah, right back.
Or left back.
He's got to stick with it. He's got to stick with it.
No, centre back's fine. Let's go with it.
I think if you look up Noé Pamaro, he'll be described as a central defender. And he went to Portsmouth, played a lot of games there. I would say, I could be wrong, but I mean, this is the beauty of my very versatile team. They can dovetail. And if Chimbonda has gone forward or wants to cut inside, then Pamaro, they can do what they want. So you need players who can play in more than one position.
So Wikipedia does describe Pamaro as a centre-back. It looks like he was a centre-back, but he definitely played as a fullback for Spurs. I think that shows how defensive Santini was, because he was signed as Santini's right back, if I'm not wrong. But he was obviously a centre half just to sit back and not get forward.
Noé Pamaro is ingrained into my memory. Being at university, being an idiot, comes from London, supporting Newcastle. Not very often I actually went to see them up at St James's, but I did go and see them play Portsmouth back in, I guess it would be about 2006, 2007, Allardyce time. Newcastle were 3-0 down after 11 minutes, I think. And Noé Pamaro, I think he scored the fourth, an absolute worldie with his weaker foot. So that was a bad day, a bad, bad day. And Pascal Chimbonda, I think, might even still be playing at a very non-league level. I interviewed him last season, and I think he might, yeah, or very recently. But there you go. So back to Tom to finish off his team.
Yeah, I've just got the manager, I think. I'm surprised you haven't included Alex Inglethorpe in there, Tom, who I think, you know, was the temporary boss post.
I haven't gone for caretakers, but I will allow you special dispensation if you wish.
No, I don't need Inglethorpe. I've got much respect for him. I think Wande Ramos goes in here as the only trophy-winning manager in a Spurs dugout. So I'm surprised the others didn't pick him, to be honest. It's a real pleasure to have him in charge of the team.
He was sacked 5 months after winning the League Cup.
Yeah, it's irrelevant details. I think Ramos was obviously known when he arrived. I think he was almost one of the original kind of no-catch-up coaches, you know, came in, told the whole squad that they were too fat. Supposedly, after training one day, drove past McDonald's and saw three or four of the team in there eating Big Macs and drinking Cokes and was horrified by the whole thing. You know, he was kind of one of these sort of original continental coaches who somehow had these kind of, you know, different ideas. I sort of feel like if Wander Ramos took over a team now, he would have a lot more time and respect. Like, he's probably sort of the 2008 equivalent of Andoni Iraola or something, you know. But in those days, people were very skeptical. And despite winning a brilliant trophy for Spurs, he was, you know, unfairly jettisoned. So come back one day and come and take charge of my team of powerhouses.
Can I just ask you, is that a true story? That whole, first of all, Ramos was driving past a McDonald's and he was driving past slow enough to look in the window and see four members of the Tottenham.
I've never heard that. That sounds like total nonsense.
It's made up, like your team.
Are you accusing me, Marcus, of making up a story on the podcast?
I am astounded if there's any truth in that whatsoever.
Well, it's questioning my integrity, Tom, but that be as it may, I will have Ramos in charge of this team. And that completes my outfit, which I think you'll agree is probably the strongest of the three.
I'm starting to wonder how seriously you're taking this, Tom, but I do love it. And your point, Marcus, he was sacked 5 months later, but, you know, they all get sacked eventually, so I wouldn't hold that against him.
5 months later with a team in the bottom three.
Yes. Yeah, they normally get sacked when it's not going well, though. So you know, again, won't hold it against him. Dan, or your cat, depending on who wants to answer this question. Your cat, obviously people can't see this. Dan's cat's joined him. To complete your team, who is your striker? The question we've been wanting to hear the answer to this whole game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm frustrated I didn't leave both strikers till now, which would have made a lot more sense. But it only really could be two on that list, I think. Mido or Darren Bent. And I actually kind of tempted by Bent because I think he was a goal scorer. I think he almost had a bit of a rough time at Spurs and is not remembered quite as fondly as he should be. Or fondly is the wrong word, but he's not rated quite as highly as he should be, I think. Because he did score goals and he got a few in that season, I think, he was at Spurs. And I think goals are obviously a pretty important commodity. But I'm not going to go with him. I'm going to go for Mido. I think he'll complement Defoe really well. Obviously, I've got Bentley on the flanks and Davis on the other one, cutting inside on his right foot. So we need a target man in there. I think Mido was great when he first came to Spurs on loan. I think that was the kind of story of his career. When he was looking to impress, he'd be very good. And then when he kind of had a contract or was settled, he'd kind of let himself go a bit. So he did fade. But I remember him coming in. I think he scored on debut, possibly against Bolton, I want to say, but I may be wrong. He'd be very good with Defoe and Carrick and Modric kind of pulling the strings behind him. So, yeah, that completes my team.
Yeah, Darren Bent, who didn't make it, a big fan of Darren, having interviewed him a few times, but I do wonder the fact that he is very openly an Arsenal fan, does that count against him quite a lot in Spurs' eyes?
I wasn't thinking of that, but I think the fact that he's clearly not a fan of Spurs now and he does media work for TalkSport and stuff, doesn't he, probably does count against him. I think he wasn't aesthetically a very pleasing player. He wasn't a very Spurs player. He was a kind of anti-Berbatov, and he wasn't very good to watch. He was a bit clunky, but he did just pop up in the right place at the right time a lot of the time. And I think there's something to that. There's merit in that. But yeah, as I said, I'm kind of not sorry to have to overlook him. I think Mido feels right for me.
Can I just add on that front that Mido, I'm pretty sure that once he did sign a contract, only scored one goal for the club. I know he had that good period on loan, as you rightly said, but the fact that he then only scored once after that was really disappointing. And we should also remember, if we're coming to pick these teams, that Darren Bent actually was an inferior goal scorer to Harry Redknapp's mother-in-law, which was one of the great quotes of the time.
Juan de Ramos, in an interview with The Guardian in 2014, said, a lad who's 22, 23 and has cash might think, this guy's not telling me what to eat. We train not far from a McDonald's and we'd see them all in there eating cheeseburgers and drinking Coke. But you explain to them and they understand. If you eat a cake, you're putting in diesel. A sportsman's got to run off super fuel. So I think...
Wow. I take
apology,
it
Marcus, maybe? Apologies.
Well, but he wasn't driving past McDonald's. That was
How did he see them in there then?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he was... in there himself. I don't know.
That's sure. another impressive contribution from Tom there, working his magic on his team. That brings an end to the game. So just before we judge, Dan, to start off with, do you want to just quickly run us through your team?
If I can remember it, yeah. So I think I've got Martin Yol in the dugout, Gomez in net, Koluka right back, Atuba left back, King and Woodgate centre half. Oh, I've won this, haven't I? I have won this. Carrick and Modric in midfield, Bentley on the right, Simon Digger-Davis on the left, Mido and Defoe up front. That's going to be hard to top.
Marcus, do you want to run us through yours?
Yes, well, it's a better team. Paul Robinson's in goal, the best of the goalkeepers, unquestionably. Harry Redknapp's my manager, the best of the managers during that period, unquestionably. Michael Dawson, heart of central defence, as good as anybody alongside Ledley King, I would say, in that position. Noe Pamaro, magnificent. Two fantastic Tottenham-style fullbacks in Chimbonda and Benoit Asuakoto. A tigerish midfield of Wilson Palacios and Pedro Mendes with Steve Malbronk doing great things down the right and Adel Tarat just making everybody gasp, stand up, and they can't believe what they're seeing. The guy was a genius, and the two players benefiting from all of that up front. The best striker during this period, Robbie Keane, and Freddie Kanute, who on his day was as good as just about anybody in a Spurs shirt. So I think that's unquestionably the best team.
With Harry managing. Tom, read us your team out.
I mean, Marcus's side is a really poor side, in my opinion. It's a sort of a stinky cocktail of kind of Stoke, Fulham and QPR all kind of mixed in. I mean, Dan's team is mostly quite boring, but with a couple of redeeming features. Marcus's is just pure mediocrity all the way through. Here's the winning team. Pavlyuchenko and Berbatov up front, Bale and Lennon on the wings, Huddleston and Davids in central midfield, with a back four of Edmund, Cabal, Neibet and Stalteri, with Kudacini in goal, led by the winning coach, Juan de Ramos.
Note that he worked from the front back because his defence is absolutely hideous.
It was noted.
For you, in any games, Tom, you would have to score six goals at least to have a chance of squeezing through 6-5.
In line with true Tottenham values, Marcus.
100%. Very Ange of you. Albeit he's getting clean sheets as well, so not really.
Tom, I think you should pick one and then we'll put it on Twitter and open it up to the masses.
Okay, well, I think the obvious choice is Dan's team, as boring as that is. But for the sake of the game and in the spirit of the game, I'm going to go with Tom Allnut. I'm loving Berbatov and Pavlyuchenko, for terrible as he was during this particular phase. Juan de Ramos, the only manager to actually win something out of the lot for Tottenham. Gareth Bale admittedly played left back rather than left midfield during this period. Didn't really do much, but I just liked your energy throughout this, Tom. And I think I'm quite desperate for you to like this game, so I'm going to pick you. Imagine.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. Well played, guys. Yes.
And Tom, why don't you take your team to McDonald's to celebrate and just see if Juan de Ramos drives by a couple of times while you're there.
I have got Huddleston and Davids in midfield. It is true, but we're picking these players at the peak of their careers, and I think Huddleston and Davids, They were athletic specimens at their peak, so let's not worry about that.
Well, okay, begrudgingly, we must congratulate Tom. Tom Arnold, I don't know how it's been. I mean, with that defence, it's an absolute joke. I mean, the one thing about that is that you'll be sacked within 5 months, just like Juan de Ramos with that back four. But well done. I do think, actually, that Dan put a pretty good team together. Mine, yeah, interesting. It would be very interesting to see those respective 11s play against each other. But with Harry Redknapp in charge, I still think my boys would have done the business. But Tom B, terrific idea. I hope very much that everybody listening has enjoyed listening to it as much as I think we've enjoyed participating. Give us some feedback. Let us know if you'd like us to pick another era and do something similar. And next week, we'll be back in a more serious mode. But thanks to Tom. Thanks to Tom Allnut, and congratulations again. God knows how. Thank to Patrick as well. I mean, Simon Davis, ridiculous. From me, Marcus Buckland, and from all the team, we'll be back on Saturday. Some of us will. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening, and come on, you Spurs.